make sure that we take a second and welcome everyone that is watching online. We are thankful that each and every week we'll have sometimes hundreds of you that are watching online or via a podcast. And we know and we trust that even though you might not be here with us, that the Word will find you right where you are. So Promised Land San Marcos, let's just welcome everyone that's watching online. I also want to make sure I don't forget First Wednesday worship. It's happening this Wednesday at 7 p.m. So we're all going to come back together as a church and worship God and hear a great word together. So listen, be here this Wednesday. We'll have communion together as a family. Let's all come together. Let's worship Him and let's honor Him with our presence. Amen? So we've had this amazing sermon series going on all month, Mind Monsters. There have been, I believe we could all probably say, we've gotten something out of this message about mind monsters, something really powerful. But, you know, last week I was thinking, Pastor Robin, you know, we could have eliminated at least two or three sermons because Pastor Robin shared something with us last week. It was the 9 scriptural responses to mind monsters. Who remembers those? Who got those, by the way? Anybody in the house got those? Man, let me tell you something. Sum it up. Let's get to the summary. God's Word. God's Word has power over each and every and all mind monsters. Amen? And see, the thing is if we'll allow God's Word to permeate our thoughts, if His Word makes His way into our heart, and if His Word makes His way into our steps, it transforms each and everything that we do. God's Word is so powerful, and it defeats each and every mind monster. Well, this is the last week of this sermon series. So what we're going to do is we're going to take my monsters and flip it upside down. See, there's a message that God wants us to hear today, and this is what it is. I want you guys to really catch this. God is calling the church to dream again. I don't know if y'all heard me over here, but God is calling the church to dream again. He wants us to dream again. Are there any dreamers in the house this morning? Yes, amen. But to do that, we have to transform our environment. We have to transform our environment, see, because the negative mind monsters tend to come from our environment too, don't they? From our background, from our jobs, from where we work, from our finances, from our families. We got to change our environment. We got to take our focus and put it on Jesus. See, because what we focus on has power. And what we focus on has power over each and every one of those mind monsters. But what we focus on also has the power to transform our lives. Amen? Amen. So as a church today, we're saying, no, we're going to put our eyes, our hearts, our thoughts on Jesus, knowing and trusting that with Jesus, all things are possible. We can dream again. We can dream again. In Acts chapter 2, and if you have your Bible with you, please go with me to Acts chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and heed my words, for these men are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out," guys, oh, I want, church, I want us to hear that "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." Do you receive it today, church? He's pouring out his spirit. "Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men," I'm guessing he's talking about me right there because all my gray, "your old men shall dream dreams. And all my men servants and all my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. See, in this passage, there's three key things going on. There's prophecy, there's vision, and there's dreams. God pointing to things that aren't necessarily happening now, but things that are going to take place in the future. Prophecy, visions, and dreams. And I love what Peter is telling us here, because what Peter told us there, if we really heard the scripture, is that he's going to pour out his spirit on us. God is pouring out his spirit on all flesh, is what his word says. Pouring it out. Making all things possible. And when God finds his way into our situations, when God finds his way into our circumstances, when God finds his way into the middle of our lives, in our lives, first and first place, there are no limits to what he can do. Church, there are no limits to what he can do in and through your life. So I have a question for you. If money wasn't an issue, if time wasn't an issue, what would you do? What would you do? We're going to call this our dreams list. Now, if you've seen the movie The Bucket List, yeah, kind of like that, right? But just getting rid of all that inappropriate mess that was in the bucket list. But here's the thing. We're going to call it a dreams list. What do you have on your dreams list? I have some items. They could be fun things, they could be family things, they could be spiritual things, they could be financial things. I've got a fun thing on my dream list. It's to own an RV. I'd like to own an RV. That might mean I'm living in that RV, but I don't know. But I want to own an RV, and I want to travel around and do the baseball stadium tour. Anybody with me? Anybody want to go do baseball stadium tour? That's good. You're with me. You're splitting the payments. All right, so I would love to do the baseball stadium tour. And while I'm doing the baseball stadium tour, I'd like to hang out at all the diners, drive-ins, and dive joints. Now, I don't know if y'all are catching what I'm laying down right here real quick, but I'm going to be eating all-you-can-eat hot dogs and nachos and then stopping off at the diners, drive-ins, and dives. I'm going to need some stretchy pants for the trip. Huh? It's going to be a costly vacation, but it's on the dreams list. I'd love to do it. And in all seriousness, I have a spiritual dream. And this is rooted down deep in my heart that one day I'll be full-time ministry. God placed that in my heart. God is showing me ways. He's leading me down paths. It's his perfect plan, his perfect timing, full-time ministry. What is God calling you or calling on you to accomplish in your life? And here's the thing. Great, big, God-sized dreams. I mean, me, full-time ministry, right? What's that thing that you have on your dreams list that is great, big? You know why that's good to have something like that on your list? Because when you've got something on your list that's great, big, a great, big dream, you know you can't do it by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. You'll never get there by yourself. You've got to become completely dependent upon God. Because only, yes, only of God and because of God could you ever accomplish that dream. It's good to have those big dreams on your list. I mean, think about it. When we're thinking small and when we're dreaming small, that's an insult to a great big God, amen? It's an insult to our great big God who wants us to live. He wants us to dream with this childlike faith again, believing and trusting that what we ask for will be given. Amen. Trusting and believing in him, not in us, not in this world, not in our own power, our own strength, or our own skills. Trusting in him for all things, giving him all of the glory. See, we serve a God that spoke the universe into existence with a word. Every star that's in the sky was hung. He reached down into the dirt and formed you with his own two hands. He breathes life into you. Why are we trying to put limits on a limitless God? that has no limits, that can do all things to those and for those that believe, that call out his name and say, I believe, I trust. See, dreaming is important. We've got to dream, church, because dreaming is important, because dreaming is the language of God. It said so. The older men will dream dreams. It's his language. It's how he speaks to us. But there's some things that have to happen. It's really important. These things have to happen. We've got to get out of our own minds. We've got to get out of our own brains. See, the problem with our brains is logic. And logic tells us there's no way I could accomplish that. Logic gets in the way of God's big dreams for our lives because we can't possibly accomplish that, can we? So we've got to change the environment. Not praying in my own power, but praying for these things in the power of the Holy Spirit. Praying in these things in the power of a mighty God that can do all things for him who believes. Dreaming is the language of God. I love what it says in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. I tell you, you can pray for anything. Church, you can pray for anything. And when you pray, if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. See, that's really important. If you believe that you received it, what that means is you're praying in the Spirit with a spirit of expectation. Are you praying God-sized dreams with a spirit of expectation today? Expecting that what you ask for will be received. Because it says, if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. So we've got to get outside of our own limitations. We've got to get outside of praying in our minds and in this logical, worldly realm. And we've got to start praying more in the Spirit. Just releasing the Spirit to really communicate with God. You know, it's like this morning in worship. We have an amazing worship team. Just worshiping in the Spirit. Amen? And you know, sometimes, especially in a church environment like this, you'll hear people actually speaking in unknown languages, unknown tongues. In prayer, you'll hear people praying in unknown tongues and in unknown languages. And I want you to know something today. God wants us all to know something today. That's not some church ritual. That's not something that we do for entertainment purposes. That is actually the Holy Spirit being poured out in, to, and through us. It's the work of the Holy Spirit pouring out into and through us. We have to pray in His Spirit, allowing that Holy Spirit to really translate for us and to us. Here's what happens, though. When we're praying in the Spirit, we start to communicate with God on a whole nother level. Not a worldly level, a supernatural level. We start to see God differently. We start to hear from God differently. We start to talk with God differently. We start, because of the Holy Spirit, receiving God differently. And when we've really received the pouring out of His Spirit, we'll start dreaming differently too. Dreaming differently. You know, I was thinking about, you know, if we've got these big dreams, what's so important about these dreams? Well, these dreams give our faith a target. You know, in this sermon series, we've been talking about faith is the substance of things hoped for but not seen. I want to focus on one word there because I think it's really important, substance. See, dreams give our faith a target. Let's take something specific to God. Let's take something specific, something that we can hold on to God and give it to Him as our dream, something that we can hold on to. You may not even be able to see it today. And the reality is, if you can't see it, you probably have no idea what the next step looks like. But see, that, church, is what faith is. It's being able to stand up in that boat and step out, even though we know the water is deep. Thankful that our lifeguard walks on water. We can stand up and we can step out in faith. Even though I can't see the next step, I'm still going to take it because I know that wherever I stand, He stood before me. Amen? Dreams give our faith a target. You know, when I was thinking about this sermon, over the last few years, God has been really speaking to me through dreaming. Through dreams. I've had a lot of dreams, and I want to share with you. It's a real good feeling to wake up in the morning and know you've spent the evening with God. When God has been right there in the middle of your dreams. And I'll tell you, the dreams were fairly vague. There wasn't a lot of real specific things that I picked out, but there were some things that He showed me very clearly. There was an auditorium. I remember an auditorium. It was some sort of either a theater or something very big. And I remember seeing lots and lots and lots of people, but I couldn't recognize any of their faces. I had no idea where I was, and I had no idea who the people were, but I knew that I was going to be preaching to them. There was one face towards the end of the dream, Pastor Robin, that started to walk down to the front, and he sat down, and I could recognize that one face, but nothing else. And all I kept hearing was, man, thousands, thousands and thousands. Now listen, that's about as generalized a prophecy as you could possibly get. I can't see what God's plan is necessarily. I don't know the details of that plan, and quite frankly, I don't know the timing of that plan. But here's what I do know, and here's what you're seeing today, is that even though I don't know, I'm stepping out in faith. It's why I'm here. It's why God's brought me here. Because He knows the plan, He knows the path, and He knows the timing. And even though I don't, I trust in Him. And you know, the interesting thing is that our church was really built the same way. This church, the place that you're sitting in, was built because of a dream and 30 people. 30 people with a dream. No other resources, on our own. No other, the churches weren't helping us out. All we had was a vision, and that vision was hundreds of people showing up to worship God on Sunday morning. That we would be able to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and share it with those in San Marcos and Kyle and Buda and in our communities and in our neighborhoods. That we'd be able to take the gospel and share it in Guatemala and in Mexico. But it was just a vision. And then that vision started to come together because the pastors and the elders and the team, they started having visions of a facility, of a building. Cars parked out front with hundreds of people coming into the building. And you know, it's interesting because as we think back, you know, at that point in this church, the thought was if we got to 500, man, if we got to 500, we'd be huge, huge. Let you in a little secret. Probably not a secret. Look around. On any given Sunday, we'll have three times that many people walk through those doors. Let's give God some glory for that. It's not because of, and I love Pastor Robin and I love everyone here, but it's not because of us. It's because of what God is doing in and through us here in San Marcos, here at Promised Land San Marcos, and through our pastors and through our staff. It's what God is doing. But here's the thing. It all started with a dream. Are you dreaming big? Are you dreaming big, or are you thinking and dreaming small? Let's dream big together. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, then the Lord said to me, write my answer plainly on tablets. He's going to tell us to write it down. Write it down. If you don't have a target, how can you hit one? And if you've got one, write it down. So that a runner can carry the correct message to others. This vision, which is commonly referring to a prophetic word from God, this vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. We've got to have big dreams, and we've got to have these big goals, and we've got to have these big targets. I'm just curious, if you have a target, can you hit one? If you don't have a target, can you hit one? Do you have a target that you're aiming for? But you know, we're talking about dreams, so I think I would be failing you. I think we got to talk about dream roadblocks, because there are roadblocks in dreams. See, what happens is we have this vision of where we're going. And what we start to see in our little human brains is we start to see progress, right? We start to see progress towards that target, towards that goal, towards that dream. We start finding some success. And you know what happens, what the world teaches us, when we start to see progress and we start to see success? Content. Just content. See, what happens is when we get where we're going, we get stuck where we've gone. And we become content. I've been calling this pig in the mud syndrome. Pig in the mud. I mean, come on, think about it. How happy is a pig in the mud? Woo! Man, this is nice. Thank you for this mud. It's so good. I think I'll just stay right here. I know I'm going to be baking in a week, but can I stay right here for 30 more minutes? Right? Pig in the mud. We become content. We become satisfied with where we are and what we've done. But see, God is telling us today, no, that's not enough. Every single person that walked through those doors today, all of you, us, the church, you walked in here, you're sitting in a chair and you're breathing. And because you're breathing, I know this to be true. He's not done with you. He's not done doing great things in you, and he's not done doing great things through you. And I know that because you're sitting here today taking a breath. Do you think God wastes a breath? So if he's given you one, it's on purpose and with a purpose. Do you receive that today? Amen? Dream roadblocks happen because we become content. Let's keep dreaming, church. Let's keep dreaming again. There are no limits to what God can do. Look at your neighbor right now and say, no limits. And when you pray, believing that you've received what you've asked for, you will receive it. There are no limits to what God can do. So let's get a jump start. Let's get a kick start on these dreams. Number one, and this is most important, let's make this clear, let's get alone with God. Let's get alone with God. Psalm 46 and 10 says, be still and know that I am God. Folks, we've got to slow down. We've got to slow down, we've got to lean in, and we've got to be able to find rest in the name of Jesus. We've got to respect, as the church, the Sabbath. I mean, let's just think about that for a second. What are we telling God when we say that the work that I've got to do today is so important that it's got to get done today? What are we telling God when we say that? Or even worse, that my work that I'm doing today in some shape, form, or fashion is equal to his, to the great work that he has done in and through us. We've got to respect the Sabbath. You know, it would be really hard to dream if we're just caught up in this constant rat race. It'd be really hard if all we're hearing is the white noise of this world and the busyness of our schedule. It'd be really hard to hear God, wouldn't it? So let's just get alone with God. Let's just spend some time with God. See, this world, I believe, is, and it's just speeding up. It's speeding up. It's speeding up. At some point, it will crash. And there are going to be people looking to the church. By the way, the church is not these four walls and this ceiling. We are the church. People are going to be looking to the church for hope, for peace, for comfort, and for a dream. And I love the psalm because when you're thinking about that, they're going to be looking for hope and peace and dream. I love that song. I think it's Matthew West that says, you know, God, why don't you do something? And it goes over and over again. God, why don't you do something? These children over here are starving to death. God, why don't you do something? These people over here, they don't have a home. God, why don't you do something? And he says, I did. I created you. That's just a song. But man, it's true. He created you. And if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, when he ascended to be at the right hand of the Father, exalted King, he poured out his Spirit into you so that you could be the reflection those people need to see, the reflection of compassion, the reflection of generosity, the reflection of love, the reflection of Jesus Christ. You, the church, being the reflection that the world is going to need to see. Now, I want to make it even a little bit more specific than that. And this might just be my personal choice, but I believe it's important enough to share. How about if we're getting alone with God, we do that first every day? How about we do that first every day? Because what I focus on first has power. The hectic schedule, the nonstop do this, do that, take this daughter to dance, take this daughter to soccer. If I'm focused on that first, that's got power. That creates stress. That is not of God. That is of this world. Focus on God first. Get in there and worship. Just a little worship music first thing in the morning. There are some new songs by Hillsong United. I start my morning every single morning in worship with Hillsong United. Beautiful songs. What a beautiful name. Jesus. I mean, just hear that. First place right in the morning. Meditate. Meditate on his word. Dig into his word. Let his word get into your head. Let it get into your heart. Let it get into your life. Spending time with God first puts everything else in its place. Second, because God isn't just a spoke in the wheel, he's the hub and he's first. Let's get alone with God. Number two, let's see through our heart's eyes. I can't get away from, it's always been stuck in my head and in my heart, the story of Saul. Saul was seeing Jesus through his worldly eyes. He was seeing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ with these eyes. And because of that, he hated it. He was chasing after the disciples, hunting them down. Until one day, on a walk, he became blind. The lens was changed. He couldn't see anymore here, so he had no choice but to see here. That's good right there. Because when you start seeing Jesus from here, when you change your lens, you see Jesus in a whole new light. Amen. By the way, it just so happens that Paul gave us most of the books of the New Testament. Couldn't have happened seeing through here. Had to happen from seeing through here. See, God, when he speaks to us, when he's communicating to us, he communicates to us by showing us. Go back to the dreams. Go back to those dreams we were talking about, both for the church, for the ministry, that you know, full-time ministry. God was showing the church. He was showing Pastor Robin. God was showing me in my dreams where he was taking me. He's going to reveal to you his plan through what he shows you. Here's the challenge. If we're like Saul, seeing right here, we might miss it. Ah, it's impossible. There's no way Thomas Doherty is ever going to pastor a church because I'm seeing that through these eyes. He says, no, shut those eyes. Shut those thoughts down and start seeing here what I have for you. Are you seeing from here what God has for you? See through a completely different lens, and it'll change what and how you see. The third thing we've got to do is we've got to write it down. You know, there's a study from Harvard University that basically says, and this is amazing to me, Harvard, 84% of the students that attend Harvard have no goals. Parents, is that making you mad right now? I mean, could you imagine sending your kid to Harvard and hearing he or she ain't got no goals? You better get up inside some goals. I'm paying $2 million to send you to college. You ain't got no goals, right? Here's what it says, though. It says that of the students, 13% did have goals. They just didn't write them down. They didn't create an actual plan. 3% had goals, and they wrote them down. And after 10 years, the 13% that had goals, now remind you, they had goals, but they didn't write them down. They didn't create a plan. They still earned more than the other 84% of the class. But here's what's cool. The 3% that wrote it down, the 3% that created a plan earned 10% more than everybody else. Now, it's not about the money, and the reality, it's not about the education or the background or anything like that. What this is about is that you've got a dream, you've got a vision, you've got to write it down, and you've got to create a plan. What good's a target if you don't have a plan? If you haven't written it down, if you can't go back to it and say, where am I in God's plan for my life? We have an amazing God, and today I believe he's looking for dreamers that are willing to take the steps necessary to see through a different lens, to write it down, and to create a plan. How am I going to get there to the stretchy pants and the baseball stadium tour? Full-time ministry, how am I going to get there? And you know, at the end of the day, the last part of that Harvard study was that they had a plan. We have to take action. We've got to take action. We have to wake up and we have to do something. We actually have to take a step. See, because the distance between the dream and the reality is that action. It's that thing you do, trusting God. It's that getting up in front of a couple hundred people and speaking about the gospel. That's the action that God is seeking from us. And that's the difference, the distance between our dreams and our reality. But let me ask you this. What is it that inspires you? What is it? What is that thing that gets you out of bed in the morning? What inspires you? Because what you believe, it says in the Bible, cannot be undone. It cannot be undone. So what are you passionate about? You know, each and every one of us here today, God has wired us a special way. Very uniquely wired. Divine design. Special calling and a special gift for everybody that is sitting in this house today. Yes, you. Because I know someone's thinking, not me. Yes, especially you. A unique calling and a unique gift. I want you to understand, we're not talking about worldly talents or anything like that, you know, speaking and all that good stuff. No, we're talking about spiritual gifts that God takes and he plants deep in our hearts. You know, the reality is, and God sees us this way, there could never be anyone else as good at being you as you. You're unique to him. He knows every hair on your head. He formed you in your mother's womb. He knows your thought before you thought it. And he's got a very specific plan for you. Maybe it's exhortation. Maybe it's teaching. Maybe it's preaching. Maybe it's giving. Maybe your spiritual gift is you're a giver of your time and of your talents and of your treasure. Maybe it's, and I know they told me I couldn't do this, but maybe it's hospitality. Right? They told me they're going to start charging me if I said hospitality again because I lead our hospitality groups. So I don't know. If that's your gifting, you may want to just reach out to me when we get done here. So, here's the thing. Whatever that gift is, start dreaming in that area. Start dreaming in that area because God gave it to you for a reason. So start focusing. Write it down. Create a plan and start taking action. You know, the great thing is here at Promised Land San Marcos, we help you with that. We have a growth track here at Promised Land San Marcos, and one of the pieces of that growth track, so important, is Discovery 301. You get to come in and find out what are those unique and very specific gifts God has planted deep inside of you. And here's the other cool thing. Not only do you find out what those spiritual gifts are, but we give you a way to get connected, to get active, and to apply them. See, because here's the thing. Are gifts any good if we don't share them? I mean, if God has given me something and I don't come share it with you, what am I saying to him then? So you can find out what those specific gifts are and find a way to get plugged in, you know, start sowing some seeds, start tilling some ground, start watering some ground so that you can actually see the fruit of God's work come to life in your life. How many of us here today would love to see the fruit of God just coming to life in our life? A result of sowing those seeds and tilling the ground and waiting patiently, knowing that God will create great fruit from it. I have a person that I was thinking about, and I'm going to talk through this pretty quickly. His name is Nick Vujicic. Y'all can put that picture up if you'd like. Just take a quick look. Now, this world would look at that and say, limited. Our God doesn't look at that man and say, limited. That our God that we serve looks at that man and goes, on purpose. On purpose. You know, when he was young, seeing through his earthly eyes, he thought, you know, what am I here for? I mean, I don't have any arms, I don't have any legs. He calls you can see it there, he calls the piece of his foot that he does have his little chicken drumstick. That's what he calls it. I'm not saying that, that's him saying that. I just want to be clear. But he grew up thinking, who am I? People making fun of him, no one wanting to hang out with him when he was a kid because he was different, right? He thought, man, I'll never get married. I'll never have kids. I mean, if I can't hold someone's hand, how am I ever going to hold her heart? And he actually considered killing himself. But see, we have this great big God that says, you're not a mistake. You know why? Because I don't make mistakes. And here's the deal, Nick. I made you. And if I made you, I made you on purpose and with purpose. He has a purpose. Let me tell you what it is. Now he goes and speaks to thousands of teenagers, and he talks to them about insecurity. He talks about bullying, and he talks about, you know, being told you're not smart enough. Oh, their family's poor. We don't want to hang out with them. Oh, she's too fat. She's too skinny. They're not smart enough. They don't have enough money. All that stuff that the teenagers go through when they're in school. He goes and he ministers. He's actually a pastor now, ministering into the lives of those teenagers. Man, that's a life of purpose. He's got a gift that God planted inside. He might be missing some things, but I would say he's got more than most, amen? Because he's living with purpose and on purpose. And let me tell you something. That man is a reflection of Jesus to those teenagers that he comes in contact with because he's using his gifts. So I want you to know today, and this is the last point, don't give up. He could have given up. I can't do this anymore, God. I don't have any legs, I don't have any arms. Instead, he's married with two kids, jumping off of high dives into the pool. Swimming because he's got just unbelievably strong core muscles. On the Oprah Winfrey show, he moves himself, and he came upstairs by using his core muscles. He doesn't perceive limitations because he perceives he has been filled with a great big God. So don't give up. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, if it seems slow in coming, wait patiently. For it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. I love this. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. It would have been really easy a few years ago with my limited sight to say, oh no, God will never do that in me. How could God bring me to this? It would have been easy to give up. And trust me, there were thoughts, negative mind monsters that said you're not good enough. They don't want you to be a part of the team. They don't want you to be a part of the staff. You'll never do full-time ministry. Remember what Pastor Robin said last week? Devil, you're a liar. Huh? No, I didn't say no liar. I said, you're a liar. And I'm standing today up here with you, trusting and knowing that my God is perfectly faithful and what he said is absolutely true. Don't give up, because sometimes right on the other side of that mountain is God's blessing, his anointing, just waiting. So many times we give up. Let's all stand. You know, we serve a great big God that is perfectly faithful. Each and every day, he pours out new mercy, new grace that's just given in abundance in our lives. His love stretches far and wide and deep and knows no bounds. That is the God that we're here to worship today. He's given us all the ability to dream. He's calling you today to dream. He's calling you today to dream God-sized dreams and to trust that if he's placed that dream in your heart, you will see it. It will happen. Now, this is really important. Not because of you. Not because of the work you've done. Because then it's not grace anymore. My grace is sufficient for you. In his grace, in his strength, in his power of his Holy Spirit. Can we dream again, church? When I asked, are there any dreamers in the house? People raised their hands. Are you okay with dreaming again? Get rid of the roadblocks. Get rid of the obstacles, because God's word is the ultimate cure for those roadblocks. Let's go to him in prayer. And I want us to remember who we're praying to, a great big God. The description that we get in the Bible is that the train of his robe fills the temple. Oh, can you just imagine the train of his robe filling this temple? That is the God that we're praying to, surrounded by angels. And all those angels can do while they're covered up because they can't see God is just holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Just in your own words, lift up a little praise. Lift up a little worship to your God. Holy, holy, holy. I'm so thankful, God, for your presence in this place and in my life. So thankful for everything that you've done and for all that you will do. And God, I pray, trusting and believing that your cross, that the cross is enough. My Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died on that cross. His blood was shed so that I might have life, hope abundantly, covering all of my sins. But it doesn't just stop there, God. We're so thankful for the cross, because the cross goes to the root of the problem, taking care of my sinful nature, of this flesh, crucifying the flesh so that I can be born again in you. God, today, Lord Jesus, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you would be my Lord and Savior. I pray that you would lead my life. I pray that you would be in control of my life. I submit my life. I surrender my life to you. Help me, Lord, to dream again. not just my own dreams, but your dreams for me, God. Say that, just say that to him. Just help me dream again. Because I know I've gotten a little bit complacent. I know I've gotten a little bit lost. But though I wonder, you are faithful, God. You go before me, working all things together for my good. And I am so thankful. I pray that all of our hearts would be open and receptive to what God is showing us, to what he's showing us about our dreams and about his dreams for us. God, I pray that we'd be submitted and surrendered to what you're showing us today, that we'd be giving all of ourselves and all of our lives to you, that we wouldn't hold these gifts hostage. I pray, God, that we would use these gifts, that we would be a reflection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to everyone that needs to see, that we would share our gifts with others, God, so that they might find you, see you, hear you, and believe in you again. Bring this world back to you, God. We give you all of the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise this morning. If you need additional prayer, we'll have leaders, we'll have pastors that are down front that would love to pray with you. If you'd like to be baptized, every Sunday after service, we have baptisms. We have everything you need, clothes, deodorant, brushes, hair dryers, towels. There are no excuses for not giving your life to Jesus. It's all here. If not, if you don't need any additional prayer, I want to leave you. I want you to leave this place today with a special thought. Dream again. Dream again in the name of Jesus. And dream big, God-sized dreams. You're dismissed.